Bibles, if you would, over to Proverbs chapter 17, real quick. Proverbs chapter 17. Now, in no way can we exhaust this text this morning. It would take many messages, but let's just look at this text very quickly. Proverbs chapter 17, I want to read verse 2. Listen to these words. It says, "A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causeth shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren." Now, we could take this verse of Scripture like the Pharisees would take the law, or like the fundamentalist of today would take the law. And we could take this verse of Scripture, and I could sit my sons down. Or you could take and sit your son down. And you could run them in a row and say, and you could take this passage of Scripture, you could just take it and you could beat them over the head with it. Like the law. You could do that. You could say, listen, here's what's going to happen. You bring shame to this family. You bring shame to me. You do these things, then there's going to be a servant that's going to come in here. And he's going to do things the right way. And when he does them the right way, I'm going to take your inheritance and I'm going to give it to him. That's all I'm going to do. Now we could do that. You see, that's exactly what the Pharisees did with the law. They took and they made it, they took it as a bat and as a whip. And they say, you do it this way or you're going to lose everything. You do it the way I tell you to do it or you're going to lose everything. Now, this is a spiritual book. Now, I keep saying that, but I want us to get this. This is a spiritual book, and it's written to spiritual men. And what we need to find out in this text, and what we have a real problem with, because we are flesh. There's an old man and there's a new man. And what we have a problem with is we have a problem with discerning in a text who we are and where we fit in the text. That's what we have a problem with. We look at text in the book of Proverbs, and we're always putting ourselves, and I'm doing this, and the minute I read a text, I'm always putting myself in the wrong spot in the text, every single time. On the top of, let me just make this very clear. On the top of my Bible, right here, so starting with, I think, Proverbs chapter 11, I believe, it begins to write on top of every page. It says, moral virtues and their contrary vices. What it says. Moral virtues and their contrary vices. I don't know if you've seen up here on the top of my Bible or not, but it says Christ. I should have put his elect over the top of contrary vices. We are sinners. We're sinners saved by grace. That's all we are. Right? Are you anything more than that? Are you anything other than a sinner saved by grace? In the flesh, we have nothing in the flesh to offer a thrice holy God. Nothing. You could take everything we talked about, all the shame that was talked about, wrath, not following instruction, pride, all of the ones we've went through so far that are shameful. What am I saying? Those things are sin. That's what they are. I want you to see that. I want you to see that the world says, no, those are not sin. Those are not shameful. Those are good things. What we need to see is those are shameful things. Those are sin. But what we must understand is that in this long line of sin and shame and iniquity and wretchedness and vileness that is mentioned here in the book of Proverbs, that we need to put our name right over the top of it. That's us. That's us. And everything that is good in the book of Proverbs, when you read the word wise, when you read the word righteous, when you read the word just, when you read the word love, when you read these great grand words in the book of the Proverbs, what we need to understand is that is the Spirit. That's Christ. You see? There's another place, it says moral virtues and their contrary vices. If you were to look in the book of Galatians, you're going to see that the flesh wars against the Spirit. They are what? They are contrary one to the other. They're at war with one to the other. They're totally opposites of one to the other. Now, how is it that these men that are over here under this list of contrary vices, how is it that they have a righteousness? How is it that they have a holiness? How is it that they have wisdom? How is it that they can be said to have these things? Because God's people, his elect, are said to have these things. How is it? Because he's in us. That new man resides within us. Everything we have that is right is God within us. It's the Spirit's work within us. We have nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. So when we read this text, a wise servant shall have rule over a son that causes shame. Who's the wise servant? Just answer me. Who is it? Jesus. Exactly. He is the wise servant. There is no other wise servant. If you were to read over in the book of Isaiah, go to the book of Isaiah real quick. Why am I always going backwards from Proverbs to find Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 53. Listen to this. Verse 10. It says here, I'll give you time to see this. You probably know these verses by heart. It said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Who are we talking about? We're talking about Christ. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Verse 11, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. On our bulletin this morning, I believe Ashley has put this verse of scripture, Philippians 2, 7 and 8. Listen to these. But made himself of no reputation. Who is that? That's Christ. And took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This wise servant is Christ. It's Christ. And the flesh wants to plop himself down. He wants to put himself right here. And he wants to say, no, I'm the wise servant. No, you're not. No, you're not. You know who you are? Listen to the rest of it. Shall have rule over a son that causes shame. Now, the only way you're a son that causes shame is if you're the elect of God. Did you see that word son there? You see that? That means you're a child of God. Oh, what manner of love is this that we might be called the sons of God? You see that? Oh, it ain't that big a deal if you think yourself the wise servant. It's not that big a deal if you think you're the wise son. It's not that big a deal if your holiness is of yourself. It's not that big a deal if you're a righteous Pharisee. It's not that big a deal. But if you see yourself as that shameful son that is deserving of nothing but hell and judgment and the righteous indignation of God, if you see yourself as that, this is an amazing passage of scripture. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causes shame. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God that Jesus, in all of his perfection and holiness and justice and rightness, he went to the cross of Calvary. Why? That he might have rule over me. That he might live within me. That he might call himself my king. And that I might look at him as my savior. And know him as my God and my king. That I could truly say with it that he lives and resides within me and has rule and reign over me. That only took place because of the gospel. That's only possible because the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. You see that? A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causes shame. Now go to the rest of it. We don't have all day. I could spend all day on this. I heard somebody say, I can't remember who it was, but somebody said, one of the kids asked, "What was this it?" And they said, "No, it's just halftime." I don't know who said that. I heard it said. It's not even close to halftime. I don't want you to get that. We got a long ways to go here. No, I'm just... It says, "It shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren." The true Hebrew of that is, "And among the brethren, he shall share the inheritance." You see, all of God's riches are Christ. Every one of them. Every one of them. If you were to go back over to Isaiah, I almost did it again, go backwards. But if you were to go back over to the book of Isaiah and you read the rest of it, "By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore," says in verse 12, "will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong." There's so much there. "Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for" who? "The transgressors." That shameful sign. And everything that's God's, everything that's Christ, he's given to the brethren. We have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He's going to share with us the inheritance. It's all of grace. It's all of grace. And I hope we see that. When we talk about shame in the book of Proverbs, I don't want you to say that we're going to roll up our sleeves and try to do something about these things in our life. You need to look to Christ. You need to look and pray that the Spirit of God would enter you, and that the Spirit of God would work mightily in your life. And yes, if that happens, these things are not going to be seen manifested in our lives outwardly. But oh, when the Spirit works, how it is that inwardly we see these things more and more and more and more in our lives. We see wrath where we never saw wrath before, we see it. We see anger where we never saw anger before, we see it. Where we always thought love was manifest in our lives, where we always thought love reigned in our lives, by the Spirit's work in our lives, we see what we really are. And that love is only based on, "This person did something for me. Or this person is going to do something for me." The Lord is so faithful to show us that. You know why he's showing us that? That we would see Jesus. That we would see Christ. That we would see the wise servant. And we would trust him. I pray that we would all see him today. Lord bless you.